Well, praise God. Hey, listen, you know what? I got two messages I'd like to preach tonight. I can't figure out which one I want to. You know what I'm saying? So what I decided was just go preach them both. I'm just going to put them together. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. Anybody got a calendar with you? No. I'm going to tell you what Liz Taylor told her last husband. She said, I won't keep you long. And oh, mercy. You know when you send the kids to camp, think about this for a second. Those kids leave your house. They come to camp and we preach to them. We figure it's about five hours a day that's preaching. They have devotions and so forth. And the rest of 24 hours, we're kind of entertaining them. You know what I'm saying? We got some things to kind of entertain them and keep them occupied. We do a lot of sports and a lot of different things. But something that I guess I really believe deeply in my heart, and that is that Christians ought to have a smile on their face. And ought to be having a good time about their Christianity. And it just really, I guess it's a little bit of a pet peeve, or I don't know what you call it, but I'm really discouraged a little bit with Christians who can't smile about going to heaven, having eternity with the Lord. They kind of act like they're baptized in persimmon juice or something. And so anyway, we just have a good time. Amen. And our children, all three of our kids, I'm sure Preacher Scott here would say the same thing. All of our kids were not brought up in the environment that, you know, we're all martyrs, you know, we're just martyrs, you know, in the Christian walk. No, we never felt like that at all. We felt like very privileged, very happy just to be able to keep our shoulders back and our chins up and have a good time. And I think, you know, really, I look back to my mama a little bit. She was always up early singing something about the Lord and fixing breakfast, getting things ready for the day, and had a smile on her face. And I think there's something good to be said about that for mamas and daddies. Let me encourage you all to raise up kids who have a good positive attitude. Amen. Amen. Because certainly there's nothing to be negative about in any way, shape, or form. Listen, this evening, take your Bibles with me and turn, if you will, to a couple passages. Like I said, one of them is verses from one sermon, one's for the other. So we're going to... I'd just like to see some things here. But turn with me, if you will, over to Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3. And then the other one is over in Colossians chapter number 2. And so I'm going to read a couple different things here. And I hope you don't get tired of holding those places. But anyway, notice it. Just have patience with me a little bit here. Notice, if you will, in Revelation, in chapter number 3, it says in, did I say 4? No. Anyway. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen and the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, Father, I pray that you'd be with us this evening. Help us to get a little glimpse of some truth from the Word of God this evening that we would be able to take with us and kind of put in a storehouse of knowledge. And to be able to use in our daily lives, in our families, and also in our communities. And that we might change things for the better. We might see godly things happen in our lives, in the lives of our young people, in the lives of folks around us. Lord, we can only ask for that, and we're asking that we certainly would leave this world better than we found it. And we just pray that this evening might there might be something in this message that would encourage each one, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 There's two thoughts this evening, but I want to start off with the idea that certainly you have seen folks like this, and too many times so have I in my ministry through the years, that they come to a place in their life where they seemingly have just got all the answers. And they really say the same words that are said right here. Saying, I'm rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing. Hey, it's okay. I'm all right. Things are good. You say, listen, you know, you need the Lord. No, things are good. Oh, I'm all right. Okay. You know, let me tell you the old story about the Lord and what He's done to save mankind. No, I'm okay. I don't talk religion. I don't want to talk about that. You know, that's kind of like the fella, you know, that you see, you know, like you're on the sixth floor and somebody has fallen off the 12th floor and they go by your window and you say, hey, can I help you? And they said, oh, no, fine. I'm doing good. Everything's okay for now. Yeah, right now. But what's going to happen when you hit? And so, you know, I see something going on, and I want to just address all this. But for us to really understand this passage, you've got to kind of understand Laodicea. Of course, it's up there on the Aegean Sea, and it's one of the churches that the Lord wrote to here, the book of Revelation, and it's the lukewarm church. We put it in time as the church of today, not really being hot or cold, just kind of being church, playing church, or whatever it is that's lukewarm in God's sight and not really on fire for God. But Laodicea was that kind of a city. Laodicea had hot springs outside of town. And it is said that they brought a conduit into town, and they've got pictures of this, and you know, in some of the old books and stuff. And they actually brought that over, you know, some of the gullies and so forth, you know, overhead, you know. And they had hewn out rocks, and they'd hewn the centers of those out and stuck them together, and made old-fashioned, what we would say, pipelines, and tried to bring that hot water into town. Well, guess what temperature it was by the time it got to town? It was lukewarm. Yeah. Yeah, funny it should be that, huh? And it's interesting about Laodicea. Laodicea was also a place that they had vast commerce. They produced a cloth and clothing, and they were the kind of the Paris of the day. They had the fashion, and they had the wealth. They had commerce. They had the ancient ways of dyeing clothing and dyeing cloth. And so every one of these things that the Lord points out to them, they had. Notice that He goes on to say in verse 18, I counsel thee. This is the Lord counseling them to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes. They were a medical center. I guess they're kind of like is it Britain that seems to produce a lot of medicines and so forth? But anyway, they produced eye salve in the days of the Lord, early days. We understand that. They didn't have pavement, and so they walked in the dust. That's the reason we had to wash their feet and all them things. And that dust was constantly an irritation to their eyes. Well, they developed an eye salve. And so they had that. And yet the Lord says, no, you need anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So everything that the Laodicean church thought they had going for them, every one of them things, the Lord just knocked them off. No, 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 no. No, we got this covered. We got this covered. He says, no, you don't. We got this covered. No, no, you don't. Well, we got clothing. No, you're naked. We've got gold. No, you're poor. We're happy. We're jubilant. No, you're miserable. And so God just knocked them down. No, 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 no. Years ago, we had a young man come to our church by the name of Truckee. Truckee was a young whippersnapper and just a rowdy little kid. But we had Awana in those days, and he got the citation award, he got the Timothy award, he got all the, I mean, he memorized every verse that there was that they had in Awana, and he was just, a good kid as far as when he was at church, he did what he was supposed to do and so forth. And Truckee had developed a mole behind his ear, and Dr. Kelly, he used to be our doctor. Dr. Kelly said, he said, what is this? You know, and his mama said, well, every time I give him a haircut, we hit that thing, and it, kind of makes it bloody, but it doesn't seem to be a problem. Well, the doctor took a biopsy of the thing, sent it in, and a few days later called back and said, hey, said that thing is cancerous, and needs to be something done about that. And I remember Truckee's attitude was, "Hey, now it's okay. It's okay. It don't hurt. It's all right. It's fine. It's fine. No problem." Well, about the time that they had lined up to have Truckee's to come in and remove some of this and really get serious about attacking the cancer, Truckee decides he got some friends that had counseled him to run away from home. And so all of a sudden he comes up missing. And his folks don't know where he is. Nobody knows where he is. It turns out there was a gang of kids that had kind of filtered through our area and gotten him enticed to go with them, and he went to Colorado Springs. And it was there that they were wanting him to be initiated into their gang. And to be initiated into the gang, he had to kill somebody. So they gave him a gun, and they told him that they set him in front of a door, and they said, there's going to be a certain fella come out of that door, and we want you to shoot him when he comes out of that door, and then you're going to be a member of our gang. Well, Truckee's attitude again was, hey, I'm okay. Everything's fine. If you was to ask Truckee, how do you get saved, Truckee? You could ask him at any point, and he would have said, you need to get saved by trusting the Lord and for his shed blood on the cross of Calvary and repent of your sins and ask him to save you. I mean, he would know the way of salvation. He knew the verbiage. He knew all about it. But it wasn't what he knew, it's how he was acting. And it's what he was being moved by. And so, anyway, Truckee went through some hard times. Turns out that cancer got worse and worse. And he was summoned, and his parents begged him to come back. No, he didn't shoot anybody coming out that door. He threw the gun away and ran and had enough sense to go back home. His parents took him to the doctor. They removed his ear. They took out as much cancer as they could operate on, and it just wasn't getting any better. When things were going good, hey, I'm all right. I'm okay. But then when things kind of go bad and his head would start swelling up, then he'd kind of get more spiritual. And it was a sad, sad thing to watch, to be honest with you. And so anyway, with that in mind, let me just hold that story a minute and turn with me over to that Colossians passage. And in this passage, I think I've got an answer, a little bit of an answer here. In Colossians chapter number 2, 3. Let me make sure I'm in the right place here. Let's see. Colossians chapter number. Well, where am I at? There it is. Okay, chapter number 2. It says in verse number 4, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." For though, now, Paul had just talked about how he was so glad these folks were in the faith. And they were excited about their Christianity. And they were pushing forward with full assurance back here in verse number 2. But then he starts talking to them, warning them about the possibility there could be a problem. "Though I be absent in the flesh," verse 5, "yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." Amen. "Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." But now he says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit." It is my contention that we have something going on. That you and I, as Christians who raise our kids for Christ, we'll send them to Christian school. We send them to Sunday school. We have them in our homes, and we sometimes I think we think they're getting Christianity by osmosis or some such thing. But somehow or another, they're being beguiled by the enemy. Now, the enemy of the Christian is the devil. You all know that, don't you? You know, sometimes we kind of, before anybody can fight the enemy, he's got to know, who am I fighting? The enemy is the devil. His will is to spoil our children. That is to defeat them and take things away from them, just like off of dead bodies on a battlefield. Spoil them. His idea is to spoil them of their Christianity, spoil them of their families, spoil them of their testimony, spoil them of their belief in God, and spoil them of their faith in Christ and faith in the Bible. That's all the devil's doing. Now, we know that he's the enemy, and he's set out to do that. Kill, maim, and destroy. But I fear sometimes that we're not taking the admonition of Deuteronomy 6, where it said, you know, post the scriptures on the doorpost, you know, put them everywhere. I've visited in homes where folks call themselves Christians, and I go into the kids' bedrooms and notice that they've got, you know, nasty, satanic things splattered all over the walls. Seriously, they'll have some of the most wicked things you can imagine. And you go, boy, is that the opposite of Deuteronomy 6 or what? That's just exactly the opposite. So my contention is this, that though we're doing what we think is our best, sometimes the devil is just spoiling these kids right out from underneath us. Now, Truckee's dad was a deacon in my church. Yeah, he was a deacon. I mean, a fine man as you could ask. His wife was in the Awana clubs, and those people were there and doing their job. But somewhere or another, they're slipping through the cracks. And I'll tell you what, I think it's because we underestimate the enemy. We underestimate how strong he's at work. Now you say, well, you know, I'm fine, and I'm able to withstand, you know, the evil and the evil one. Yeah, but do your children have on the armor? Do they have the Ephesians 6 armor? I mean, have they got the shield of faith, and are they girded about with helmet of salvation? And do they have on all the armor? Or somewhere or another, have we slipped and have we not given them everything they need? Now, I'll tell you what, I'm pointing my finger at you. I'm preaching to myself. I'll tell you, it worries me. As now a grandpa, you know, I'm looking at my grandchildren now. And my children, are they doing a good job, you know, and so forth. And I think all of us need to be vigilant Because our adversary, the devil, he's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Oh, my. That word philosophy, I use it once in a while, and it always gives me a little cringe. It's kind of when I use, like, evolution. Just kind of, you know what I'm saying? It's just kind of getting old electric wire a little bit. I hate to say that word. There's good philosophy. There's good philosophies. But spoiling through philosophies of this world, you know, and I'm not telling you folks anything you don't already know, but it's just my burden for young people. I'll tell you what, they're the young ones. They're coming on. And what I'm seeing is, you know, a lot of them are really taken with technology, and they're, and so, you know, I'm wondering if they're in this world or they're in the technological world sometimes. They're kind of walking around with their devices and so forth. But, you know, I'm really concerned that we're raising up a generation that's going to carry the gospel forward. And I'll tell you, you know, our kids, we have about, there'll be about 15, 16 of us again on our staff. And our staff, again, are just, I believe, some of the best young people we could possibly have. And I really feel a deep ministry to them, first of all, and then also to all the kids that come. But I'm really kind of hard-nosed, I guess, about when it comes to focus. Focus. Do I ever use the word focus? No. Okay, now I know this can't happen in the real world, but up at Camp World, we can do this. We get away with this. And that is, they commit themselves to about 10 weeks at Treasure Mountain. And they hardly leave my sight. I don't let them go anywhere because I want them to be focused. We used to say, oh, on the weekends, just go and have a good time. Man, life. Well, what happened was they were unfocused to find out what were we going to play, what kind of games, where are we going for the weekend. And then when they had all the fun of the weekend, then they'd come back and it took about 3 or 4 days to get them focused again. So we learned on that deal. So anyway, I don't know, they feel kind of like they're in captivity a little bit, but anyway, it's a focus thing. And seriously, if we could think about this for our children, for our grandchildren, for those that we have, maybe you're a Sunday school teacher, for those little ones who are under our authority and those who we are tenderly moving and trying to push them in the right direction, show them that this is the way, walk ye in it. This is it. This is the way. Now, I know it's the narrow way, and I know there's a broad way over here that just seems like so much fun, and it acts like you're going to miss everything if you don't go the broad way, but this is the way, the narrow way. And that's the message, really, isn't it? I mean, it's just elementary as the dickens. But this is the way. And so, young people, you know, I'll never forget. I had an old Sunday school teacher. I remember back when I was going to Faith Baptist Church in Grand Junction 100 years ago. And Brother Horton was our pastor. Anybody remember Horton from way back 100 years ago? Anyway, he was our pastor over at Faith Baptist. And but I remember old Brother Hildebrand. He was a mechanic, and he had the biggest hands you've ever seen in your life. Looked like two big old hams on the end of his arms, you know. And he had all his cracks, and they were all filled with grease. But that old man, he'd take that little New Testament, and he'd open that thing, and like, how does he do that with them big old hands, you know? But I'll never forget just pointing us in the way and helping us memorize and just loving us little boys, you know. And but isn't that it? So that Satan doesn't spoil these children. Doesn't get in there and make them rotten to the core. Doesn't spoil them. And he does it through philosophy, vain deceit, the traditions of men. I mean, you could preach a series on this little verse right here. After the rudiments of this world and not after Christ. Now, when I was in school as a kid, I was a drummer. Yeah, I really was. I played in the marching band, played snare drum, played the bass drum. I think the only reason they put me on the bass drum, I was only one big enough to carry that thing. It was a huge, big old drum, you know, boom, boom, boom. And so anyway, but remember the cadence, you know, you know, the old cadence, you know, everybody marching to the cadence. And doesn't the political correctness of today remind you of marching to the cadence? Oh, yeah, we got to all march, you know, just right down the big old Broadway. And about our children, you know, here, evolution, oh, fine, you know, liberalism, yeah, bring it all in, you know, we're just marching to the cadence. Yeah, rum, pum, pum. Well, I'll tell you what, Christian friend, let's make sure, let's do our dead level best to help the kids see the narrow way and see that it's the right way. Travel God's way. It's the best way. It's the only tried and true way. And it'll lead you to heaven some sweet day. Amen. That's true. Amen. Praise God. I don't know. I hope this has made some sense to you this evening. But we certainly see how that that the devil can get the advantage. Take the very best of the kids and just ruin them. Well, the story isn't quite over with Truckee. Bless his heart. Truckee ended up in the process of all that turmoil, just reaching and grabbing. He ended up actually married during that time. And Truckee came to our camp just before he passed away. He wasn't 21, was he? He was only about 20, 19, 20 when he died. But Truckee came to camp and he said, "Can I have a few minutes and tell the young people something?" I said, "Sure." And he got up in front of everybody and he says, he told his story. Yeah, he told about his belligerence and how that he said, "Yeah, things fine. They really weren't fine." He told about how that all of his misgivings and all of his the deceit and how the devil had tricked him and how that he had gone the wrong way. And he realized exactly where he was. He realized it. And he said, "You know, God has brought about this disease in my head because I would not submit to his will. That's why he did this." And I'll tell you what, that was a powerful thing. And he died not too long after that. And, you know, he was just, he'd received the truth. He knew the truth all the way along. That's the whole thing about it. You know, it's not so much, we teach these kids and they know, they can open, you know, they can tell us the truth. But the deceiver reaches in and spoils them through his philosophy and vain deceit. And let's get a hold of that idea that we stand in the gap. Hey, listen, we're the parents. We're the grandparents. God has given us a mission. He's given us a duty to stand in our place and to guard our children. No, you're not going to get near these kids. And you young people, you submit to the idea that your parents are saying no. No is a good word. Yeah, that was a good word. You know, it's like the dog, little dog, you know, he's on one side of the fence and he's just barking and, you know, and everything comes by, he's barking at it, you know. And here's a big old, you know, Rottweiler. He comes by and he looks at him, you know, and the little dog, he says, "Rah, rah, rah, boy, if I could get to you, buddy, I really would." You know, if they took that fence away, that little dog would die, you know what I'm saying? He'd be gone. But, you know, kids, you know, a lot of times we feel like, yeah, you know, everything's fine. We're cool. We got it covered. But let your parents, yeah, give them the right of way. Give them their God-given position to raise you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Yeah. Oh, Father, thank you today for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that we have the answer within the Word of God. We know the adversary. We know how to defeat him through the Spirit of God, the Word of God. We know that we should be standing in the gap. We know that we should be training and teaching and so forth. But Lord, help us to be vigilant. Help us to be on our toes. And help us, Lord, not to be weary in well-doing. Because then we will see the increase. We'll see the blessings. We'll be visiting our kids in church instead of at the penitentiary. We'll be visiting them, at Sunday school. We'll be visiting them at family reunions instead of down at the jailhouse and down at the recovery centers. Dear God, help us, I pray, to realize how very strong an adversary we have. And dear God, help us to be everything we need to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Preacher.
Thank you. All God's people said. Amen. Father, we are so grateful for what we have heard tonight. I thank you for your word. Thank you for your messenger. Thank you for the Baumans. I pray, God, that you would help us not to be lukewarm, amen, but to be red hot for you. Mm. Not to accept the philosophy of the world, to be spoiled, to have the very precious things that belong to you taken away from us by the world. And I pray, God, for our young people as well. I pray, God, that you would protect them. Help them to honor their parents. I pray for the parents, Lord, for grandparents. Lord, that we would set the example. That we'd be faithful, consistent, not hypocrites. So, Father, we give you the glory.